Well, I want to share a few things. God's been talking to me this week, because one of the things that I'm wholeheartedly interested in is a move of God. But I want to know some things. And I've been, you know, I talk to God. He's wise, I'm not. It doesn't matter what I see or what I think needs to go on. We need to have the wisdom of God of what needs to be done. And if anything we need God to be able to manifest himself. Like, we're having instances right now where the devil's manifesting himself. We're seeing his manifestations. This is what we are. We're seeing his. God wants to manifest. Well, you know, it's one thing as I've learned over the years is, it's not hard to get God to manifest. Just like, if you know what to do to make the devil manifest. See, when I was involved in sorcery before I got born again. I was involved in sorcery. And what we did is, in there, we found, you would turn around and I'd read books and things. People found out stuff. I read the books of a guy who was a sorcerer, and he was a professor at the University of UCLA. He was in fact, he had gotten his doctorate through his studies with a Yaqui Indian sorcerer in Mexico. And so I got over into studying these things because, see, number one, I was born and raised in Christianity, on really powerless Christianity. It was, you get saved and Jesus don't do nothing. And you're just, you know, every bad thing that comes along, God's doing it to you for a purpose and everything. And you get this idea. You know, and I was a kid growing up. I just thought, I remember it in my parents about, they said, you know, and they talk about the devil. And I say, the devil? I said, I don't see where the devil bad. I think God's bad. He's the, every ugly thing that happens, he did it. You guys say so. Why are we upset the devil? You know, because God's the one out to get you. You know, somebody dies prematurely. God did it for a purpose. You know, this happened. A storm came through and blew your house down. God did it for a purpose. God's doing. And you listen to all that. And I couldn't believe all these moronic, stupid adults with, oh, yes, we love this God who's destroying our families, is destroying our stuff, and we love him. I mean, I thought they were insane, and I was right. There's a lot of insanity in Christianity. Love somebody that's doing you in. Well, then I came along as I thought more about this. I thought, you know, if I did the things they say, you know, we're supposed to walk like God walks. We're supposed to be, oh, just like Jesus. We're supposed to walk like God, act like God. Well, then we ought to be killing, stealing, and destroying. That's what we ought to be doing. That's what he does. That's what we were taught he did. This is the things that he carried out. So we ought to be doing them, shouldn't we? I mean, if that's where, hey, let's do that. Well, I found out when we as citizens in a country, when people do that, we lock them up. But we have a God that does that, we worship him. So to me, number one, I had enough sense to know that there had to be power outside of natural human power. There had to be. Well, I was taught and trained that God don't do nothing but bad stuff with his power. And so if you want to find something, you got to get some kind of power to go against this. You come along, and I said, well, there's got to be power in something. There's got to be power in something. I always believed in the spirit realm. I always thought there was one. So I thought, well, the church don't seem to know nothing about the spirit realm. They ain't got a clue if there is one. And all they know, the God over there, you know, if he gets up on the wrong side of the bed in the morning and he's miserable, you're in trouble. So if you want to do something, you need to find out about what you can do. And so this is what got me. I got interested into the spiritual realm about things in the spirit. And that's when I got into the areas of sorcery. And I found out, you know, that manifestations, when I started getting into it and I started studying into it, things you can do, I found this. You could cause spirits to start to manifest. You can get things to manifest. You can get things to happen. See, it's number one, I don't believe any religion is any good, even Christianity, if it can't get anything to manifest. You ain't got nothing. You ain't got a thing. The whole point of it is, if an invisible God stays invisible, what good is he? Really? Think about it. Is he any good? Is it any good? If my invisible God does not manifest himself, he has to have ways that he manifests himself. Every spirit being does. I mean, we can read, look at Jesus. Jesus in operation. I mean, the demons would go out of a guy and go into pigs. I mean, the demons would manifest themselves. They would do things. We see Jesus coming along and seeing how anybody could think we watch Jesus, we see God's manifestations. Jesus said, I don't do anything that the Father, I haven't seen the Father do. I don't say anything the Father didn't say. Jesus had constant manifestations. Jesus turns around and says, you know, the guys who believe on me and the works that I do, he said they're going to do them too. Why? Manifestations. Manifestations. But see, we haven't had faith in manifestations of God. We have settled to believe in the invisible God who stays invisible. He never goes in the phone booth and ever puts on the big red-ass suit. He stays invisible. Now, we talk about the stuff in the Bible and the stuff in the Bible. I don't care about the stuff in the Bible if I can't have it. Now, I don't even care less about it. It's worthless. Don't tell me about a God that was. I have no use for a God that was. I need help now. See, that's one of the reasons I went over to sorcery. I was looking for something now. Now, I didn't realize I had in the wrong way, and it caused me some real problems in life. But God always honored me from this. My heart was pure from this standpoint. I was sincerely looking for something. I am amazed how many Christians are looking for nothing. I, as a sinner, had more of a search to find something supernatural than the average Christian does today. The average Christian ain't looking for nothing. Just trying to get by. Just trying, you know, just want to have a nice life. I don't want a life you can't have supernatural. Supernatural makes life worthwhile. That's why we have the entertainment industry today is moved to the supernatural stuff. They get over superheroes, all this different stuff. People are driven to it. And all's the church offers, a God that never shows himself. It's all the church offers. See, I was always interested in the super. I wanted the supernatural. I wanted something. And that's when I heard, I was given the book, Kenneth Hagin's book on how to be led by the Spirit. I was a sinner and read that book. And a guy that gave me the book, I worked with at Reese's, and I came up and I gave him that book back. I said, that's the first Christian I ever read that actually knows how the spirit realm works. Now, there was definitely other people out there, but he was the first one I ran into. I said, this guy actually knows how the spirit realm operates. See, the spirit realm don't operate any different from the demon side to God's side. It all operates by faith. Whatever you put your faith in, you talk and you do and you follow, that's what you're going to have. You don't have nothing supernatural? You ain't got nobody to blame but you. See, that's what I had a very hard time when I came into Christianity. I had a rough time because I came in, I got born again at home, not in a church. I got filled with the Holy Ghost at home. And then God told me to go to this church, and I went to this church, and if God hadn't supernaturally, not God manifesting himself, right at my dinner table, one just came home and said, there's a church up the street there, because right around, she said that opened, she said, and she got the number, the pastor's number and stuff off of it, and she said, told me about it, and I said, yeah. And I was sitting, we're eating supper. I'm sitting there eating supper, and the Spirit of the Lord just really clearly spoke to me and said, give that pastor a call. And I said, okay, just to myself, inside, okay. And I went on eating. But the Lord didn't quit. He rebuked me. He said, I told you to give him a call. I said, yes, sir. I got up from the table. And I went and called this pastor. Well, anyhow, I knew I was supposed to go there to this church. So Wanda and I and the kids, we went there to this church. And most all these people, they had been saved for years. I'm a young Christian. I mean, I'm just a new guy on the block. Got filled with the Holy Ghost. And I'm this guy over here. I've already had numbers of manifestations of God in my life. I already had numbers of things where God would manifest. Let me say this to you. I had more manifestations of God in my life for God before I got born again than the average Christian does in their entire walk. You see, one of the things I believed in the spirit realm. Before I got saved, I went for months on end of the things of deciding whether or not I wanted to get born again. I had questions. I would ask God things and He would answer. He would manifest Himself to me. Things happened. I was totally shocked. I knew God's dealing with me. We live in a world today where people don't know if there's a God or not. In the 1950s, when I was a little kid in the early 50s, if you went to church where they actually preached the gospel, you could have moves of God, which we'll talk about here. Conviction of the Holy Spirit would come in the churches. You ain't ever sit in no big name ministers in the last 30 years that ever had a move of God like they had. Where I'm going to tell you, you could hardly stand to be in that building if you didn't go and call on Jesus. Because the conviction of God would be so strong in those places, you could hardly stand it. I mean, it would be so strong, half the Christians would think they were sinners because that spirit would come so strong on people. People could, it's like I said, grown men would wail out and cry and run to the altars. The power of God was phenomenal. I don't know if they knew, but you know, they're just preaching God. There's a move of God. God is manifested. God is manifested. See, we need to understand that. When we get around this stuff, because see, God wants to manifest, and He wants to manifest Himself to the sinner. Today we want change, but we're going we need God to manifest to sinners. We need a manifestation. You just telling somebody the gospel without the Holy Ghost involved, we're wasting our time. I'm going to tell you what, we need. It requires, nobody comes to the Son except the Father draw them. And no one will get saved without the Holy Spirit conviction. No one. I don't care if you get to say a prayer or whatever, you can go through your little numbers or whatever else. This is a work of God, and there must be God involved in it. We're partners with Him. We have a part that we play. But we need God. We need manifestation. We need God where people experience God. And they're not in the church world. They're experiencing entertainment. They're experiencing everything but God. Men's ideas, men's plans, what men's going to do, you know? I just got a thing, you know, on the phone, they had a guy left a message about this guy going around having, you know, concerts at churches and that stuff. And I went to listen to his music, and I thought, what on earth would you waste your time? I mean, it ain't nothing but a concert. That's all it is. I mean, I'd rather listen to rock and roll. You know what? Don't knock what the sinners are listening to, because this junk Christian stuff going on is the most deceptive of all. It's fake Christianity. I know what's going on when I listen to the devil's music. But Christians ain't got a clue if some guy's got an anointing and if he does have one, who it came from. They wouldn't know. You know, sing me a nice song. No, sing me a song that'll change my life. Sing a song that does something to me. And see, that's the whole thing of Christianity. You know, in John 16, and I want to read this verses 7 and 8, because this is one of the things we want to talk about here is a conviction that we need, because God began to deal with me. And we're going to, manifestations that we want to have is in the areas of conviction. We need this manifestation. This is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And there is no such thing as having revival without it. You will not have a revival without it. Moves of God are tied to these manifestations. And see, we have our ideas of what we want. But what God does, there's certain things that God wants to manifest among us, that God wants to do in the world, His great desire to do. Many things, these other manifestations He'll do is to try to get over to this one, where He can bring conviction to the world. In John 16, Jesus said about the Holy Spirit in verse 7 and 8, He said, nevertheless, verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Well, the helper is what? The Holy Spirit. That's who it is. It's the Holy Spirit. Now, what does he say this? And when he has come, he will convict the world of sin and of righteousness and judgment. We had talked about this before, but see, we need to understand this. This is the manifestation of the Holy Ghost. People say, I want a manifestation. This is a manifestation that we need. This is one of the manifestations. If this is the whole thing. The seeker-friendly church wants to remove conviction. You go to church and you just feel good. You can have sin and you feel good. Conviction. Now, if you went and you were in a court of law and you got convicted of something, what does that mean? They found you guilty. You were found guilty and you're going to be sentenced. You're going to have a sentence if you've been found guilty. And I want you to understand this. Every sinner needs to know this. They have been found guilty. And there's a sentence against them, a judgment. The Holy Spirit lets the people know that there's a judgment against them, that they have a righteous problem. Now, I tell from my standpoint, I've told many times my experience when God started to deal with me when I worked at Reese's at 30 years old, January. January was my birthday. I turned 30 in January. God started to deal with me about my life. And you know what? The first thing he did was he convicted me. He didn't come to me and say, I just love you, Ed, the way you are. Never said that to me. Never once said that to me. Ed, I just love you the way you are. I just take the way you are. Ed, I love you so much. You're just so sweet. No, he came along and convicted me that my life was going to send my family to hell. It's going to send my wife and kids to hell. Boy, that was a cheerful thing to find out. And you know what? He didn't do that one day. I'd go back to work the next day and I'd go to the lunchroom and sit down by myself and that same voice would come and talk to me. What's going to happen to your family? And I know, yeah, the way I'm living, I know. I'm going to destroy my family. See, conviction. You have to be convicted of the fact of judgment. You don't need a Savior if there's no judgment against you. You don't need Jesus to get new houses and lands. Look how many sinners are rich. You don't have to give money to get rich. Well, I can get into some teaching and talking about this cause a whole lot of trouble in the body of Christ. And you don't have to be a rotten crook and cheat. There are Christians out here that live really good lives that have a lot of money and ain't good givers. So the sign of having money ain't no sign you're any good. It don't mean nothing. Well, we got a lot of ideas on stuff. We got our little thing. God has a lot of different ideas about stuff. But anyhow, we need to deal in the areas of conviction because, see, the Holy Spirit worked to convict me. I know my one brother told me he got born again over the things as God spoke to him. Now, here's another thing. Holy Spirit bring conviction. This Holy Spirit talked to him because he was thinking about the fact that my parents at that time, they were both in a home older. My dad was almost 90 and my mom was almost 90 and so. He has to look at the fact that, you know, that they're getting older and they're not going to be around long. And he said, and God spoke to me. He said, just as clear. He said, I was sitting in the living room. He said, on a recliner sitting here. And the Holy Spirit said, you stay the way you are. And said, when your parents die, you'll never see them again. Oh, we would never preach like that. Oh, no. No, we'll make people feel guilty. See, the Holy Spirit, we have today, the truth is bad. The truth is not good. The truth sometimes hurts. You just need to hear it straight out. Many times the truth changed my life. And it isn't what I really wanted to hear, but it's what I need. Even as a Christian, I needed to hear things that changed my life. And see, we have this thing where we're always looking. The Comforter, the Holy Spirit, it doesn't comfort you by patting you and petting you. Like, see, I was listening to a minister, and was a thing on the news because of this tragedy at this school. And his whole idea was, what we do is we comfort everybody in this thing. God ain't trying to comfort everybody in this thing. The church is praying for God to comfort it. Man, some of these people need God. They ain't going to ever see their kids again if they don't get saved. They don't need comfort. We need the Holy Ghost to be allowed to tell us why this trash is going on in our nation. But we will not let the Holy Spirit in the church. He's not allowed in because He doesn't meet our requirements. He doesn't meet our requirements. See, I'm a bad guy. See, oh, we're supposed to pray and comfort everybody. I'm sorry. There's children that are in heaven tonight. And parents, if they don't get saved, will never see their child again. And the parent will be doomed to eternity, lost and in the lake of fire. And here's the minister. God wants to comfort everyone. God wants to make us all feel, that's all right. They're down there looking. We're just going to all be there one day with them and all of us, you know. It's all going to be all right. No, it's not. I believe in the comforter, but He comforts with truth. He don't comfort with lies. He never comforted with a lie. He'd never tell you you're all right if you're not. Now, you're messed up. He'd tell you He loves you, but that don't make you all right. He loved Adolf Hitler, too. So don't think because He's telling you He loves you that everything's okay. He loves us in spite of stupid. Hallelujah. He loves us. But there's one thing. See, He'll always come and bring us truth. Now, I was sitting there, I was listening to that minister, and I thought, comfort. See, you and I, we need to know, there is a difference between how the Holy Spirit works for the church and how He works for the world. The church throws everything in one bag, shakes it up. Christianity and all sin and everything's thrown in one bag, shook up, and you can't divide it between what the world is and what the church is. You don't even know. It's all shook up together. I'm sorry. The Holy Spirit works different concerning Ed than He does the sinner. His ministry to me is different than it is. See, and if you don't know that, and I will guarantee you, the majority of the church has not got a clue. Has not got a clue. Jesus said, I'm going to send you another comforter. He didn't tell them, I'm going to send all the heathens a comforter. And He's going to abide with them forever. And those ones that are doomed to the lake of fire, He's just going to comfort them the whole time till they go. No, the Holy Spirit to the world is a convictor. Thank God He convicted me. See, this is why we have many people today that use the term Christian and they never became a Christian. It never happened. They just did some religious thing. They made a religious confession. The idea of accepting Jesus was just a nice thing to do. They never come to the place to see how bad sin is. See, sin dominates in the church world because the church has no clue. They don't think sin's bad. They don't think sin's a problem. All I could think of when I heard that thing go on with kind of, all I could think of was, look what sin's doing to our nation. Look what sin is doing. The devil's dominating and ruling because sin reigns and rules. And the church preaches, God's just loving us all and it's just all. Where's the voices that stand up and say, hey, we're in huge trouble in America? People say, I'm praying for God to bless America. You're saying, God, bless us in all of our sin. Say, God, no, send conviction to America. God, make us so uncomfortable till we repent. I'm sorry. Look, we either do it willingly. I don't want to face, folks, what's coming. And there's things coming. You don't have an idea how bad they are. There's things coming. They're going to change this nation. So if it's not stopped, and it's not going to be stopped with most of the church in its condition that it's in, it's not going to stop it. See, God wants to bring. See, God wants to bring revival. No revival will come without conviction. It ain't coming. There must be. Therefore, we must preach the truth. We must tell people their condition. I did years ago. I did a lot of studying in the areas of revival to find out like patterns, because you find out things from the Bible and how God works things out, and you'll find in revivals, you'll find similar patterns all the time in revivals and stuff going on. But one thing is reading after some major revivalists of years past into the 1800s and into the early 1900s, revivalists. And I found this out about many of them, that they would say these things, you know, they would go, they said, we never saw any great moves of God, he said, in the church or manifestations of the Holy Spirit. He said, until you got the church to repent. They said many times, they said, we would preach in a church. They said anytime from 9 to 12 weeks on an average till you could get the church. See, Brother Hagin would never take a meeting of less than 3 weeks when he was on the road. And this is the reason why. He said, because you never got any notable miracles or anything would start happening till you could get the church over to walk in faith. And he said it usually took about, he said usually the third week would start things happening. See, we're the instant, we're the McDonald's church today. I made a confession. I'm just a believing. And I'll get my hamburger and I'm gone. And God's going to do it. No, it takes work to get it this time. It takes us from, find myself, and I'm just, God, I need to get in line with you. Your thoughts on these things are different than our thoughts. Your ideas, and I got to get in line with you. I got to move in line with you so you can bring to pass. I got to get in faith with what you're talking and say. You know, there's a lot of principles we know they're right, but we're applying them wrong. You know, I believe 100% in making good confessions, believing the right things and saying the right things. But not everything changes with that. You can't change everybody else with your confession and what you want. Dear God. But that's what their faith people are trying to do. We're trying to change our nation, walking around saying, well, God bless America, God bless America. God's sitting up there thinking, boy, if I could only get them to shut up. I want to bless America. You think God don't want to bless America? Dear Lord, His list is greater than yours. His ideas are bigger than yours about what He wants to do to this nation. He hasn't thrown us under the bus. We did that. We didn't need thrown. We just crawled under it. We just said, get under it. What the heck? We'll just Hallelujah. Should I tell you how bad conviction gets? See, now, I'm going to ask you, do you really want the Holy Spirit to move in conviction? I have a wonderful story in the book of Acts about conviction. It's a great story. It's in Acts, the 7th chapter. Conviction came. Acts, the 7th chapter, we're not going to read it. It's the guy Stephen. Stephen preached a message and got those Jews under conviction and they killed him. The Holy Spirit convicted them of sin, and you know, that's their response to it is to kill them. You'll always find people are martyred because of conviction. The message of God convicts people, and they either respond one way or the other. They either respond to it with faith in Jesus Christ, or they'll want to kill you. See, ain't this good preaching? I tell you what, we're not. How many of you want to be a martyr? I want to tell you, if you go out, you find this all the time. You get people stand up and start speaking truth, you will even have Christians get their rock bags out. I've watched it all along in Christianity. preach the truth, conviction comes. And when people don't like to be told. There's people who don't like to be told they're wrong. They don't want to be told. Loads of Christians don't want to be told what they have isn't real Christianity. It's their idea of Christianity. It's what they think Christianity ought to be. It's what they think. Boy, and you tell them, and they don't like you. Kenneth Hagin prophesied concerning the end times. I sat twice in meetings where he talked about the end days, and he said there's persecution coming. He said it's not coming from without, but from within. It's going to come from within the church. People are going to start walking right. You know, at that time, we were in the middle of revival. So you don't think about it. That you think about all these moves of God and all these people coming to meetings, and he says this stuff. Now I'm living today, and I look and say, boy, it sure changed. There's a lot of Christians don't want to move with God. They want things just the way they are. They want things like they are. Don't mess with me. Don't tell me I've moved away from God. I'm so darn wonderful. Don't ever tell me I'd be wrong or I missed it. No, don't you do that. Say, we don't have to. Everybody knows it. Everyone knows you missed it. Everyone knows you're wrong. But people get stubborn in their ways. But just like with Stephen, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is how he got stoned. You don't want to be guilty. People don't want to be found guilty. But you think about it. Your own salvation. You come to the place, man, something's wrong with me. I need change. I need Jesus. My system ain't working. See, I'll tell you, just like you did the other week, I'd made mention before about talking to a woman who was, I was witnessing to her and talking about it because she said, you know, and she wanted help. And I started talking to her. I said, well, if you don't change, anybody doing things for you ain't going to help you a bit. You're going to have to change. So I was just talking to her about the Lord and talking things. And she's just totally under conviction. She just wept and wept the whole time I talked to her. She's just under conviction. And I said to her, you know what I'm telling you. This is the truth. And she said, yeah, I know. Yeah, I know. I know you're telling me the truth. I said, I'm not saying any of these things because I don't love you. I said, you're going to have to change. You have to want to change. See, it's really, Jesus can't save people who don't want to be changed. See, these people, see, I do not know Christianity without a manifestation of born again. You see, that's one of the manifestations of God, is the new birth. The new birth changes a person. If a person says they're a Christian and have not got changed, I'm sorry, they didn't get Ed's new birth. I got a manifestation of God. When I accepted Jesus, my life changed. I wasn't the same person anymore. That's why you'll hear people do testimonies and say things like, you know, it just seemed like when I accepted Christ, there's this great weight came off of me. See, there was a manifestation from their standpoint. In other words, there was something that it took place in my life. Something happened. It's like with me. I didn't have that happen to me. But somehow I knew when I did that Ed, you did the right thing. There was a thing and I had a peace in me about I did the right thing. I'm going to be okay. This is going to work. I just knew it. See, God manifested. And the manifestation was so clear that Wanda said, I'm married to a different guy. See, there's a manifestation. If a person got saved and I can't find a change in their life, they did not get saved. That's a lie. You cannot get born again without manifestation. Impossible. That's all we got today. Christianity without manifestation. And it is not Christianity at all. You can't take a supernatural God and hide him somewhere. If anybody operates in faith, he comes out. He goes right to the phone booth, puts on the suit, and here I am. That's what he does. That's Christianity. That's God. God shows up. I only know God. If God's not manifesting, the first thing that I do is start checking, what's wrong? Why isn't God dealing with me about this? I'm talking to him about this. Why isn't he dealing with me about this? Because see, my God responds to me. The Bible says he'd respond to us quickly. Hold it. So I don't go for some year praying and God never says anything. If he does, it's because I ain't been talking about faith and I've been doing something else that I thought was good, but it ain't God, because if you're moving in line with God, he manifests himself. We have wonderful books that we sit down and read of people in the past and how God manifested in their life. And we sit and look at him, and we look at him with wonder and say, isn't this incredible? And then we're willing to live a life without it. I can't help it. I read John G. Lake, and oh my God, I better get right about some things. I need to get things. I want God manifested. But see, we're satisfied with stories. We're satisfied with somebody else did it. Somebody else had. I'm sorry, I'm not. If God's not going to manifest, then the whole book's a lie. The book's just a downright lie. Well, see, I've learned the book's not a lie. If it ain't working right, Ed's the liar. Ever God. God manifests among his people. And see, we need to get there. With the new birth. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. You cannot become a new creation without a new manifestation. It is a total 100. Anybody tries to tell me something else, he's a liar. I didn't get a different God. And I know numbers of people that they got the same kind of God I got. God manifested me. God changed them. God changed me. He manifested me. How could God live in you and nobody would know it? I want to know that one. Did God live in Jesus? Did you say the Father's in him? Was it noticeable? Would God come and live in you and it wouldn't be noticeable? I feel bad about this because it's been preached out of most people. We've been preached by the best on how to hide God in you. Just send a check. Send a check and you can watch me manifest. No, we got to come to the place. We want God to manifest. God is in me. See, when Paul writes to the church at Corinth. Now these people here knew about manifestation because he said you don't come behind in any gifts and all that stuff. He talked about them, and in fact in their service they wanted to talk in tongues all the time. They were doing this stuff all the time. But he reminded him, he said, don't you guys know that the Holy Spirit's in you? See, they hadn't learned to be led by the Spirit, but they knew about God manifesting through them. See, we become the church that today that talks about God in us, but we know nothing about manifestation. See, when I came into the kingdom, it was about manifestation. It was right. And see, this is one of the things the Lord spoke to me about this week. Because I get questioned about move of God. Why aren't we seeing the move of God? He said, you look back. He said, would you call a move of God going on? What were they doing? Preaching the gospel, conviction of the Holy Spirit, baptism of the Holy Spirit. Those are the things that are being pushed. If the baptism of the Holy Spirit's being pushed, then you're going to see gifts of the Spirit. That's what the baptism... See, today the baptism of the Holy Spirit's about speaking in tongues. No, it isn't. It's about the gifts of the Spirit operating through us. Tongues is just one of the manifestations. Now, tongues are manifest. See, no one has ever been filled with the Holy Ghost without a manifestation. It's never taken place. Like I said, how can the Holy Ghost, I'm full of the Holy Ghost and nothing happens. I'm sorry. There must be manifestation. If there's not, how would you know? How would anybody know? I mean, just think, is God a fool? Does God say, if people full of the Holy Ghost, God never shows up? It's like, okay. See, we got to admit today. See, like the Lord said, He said, number one, you were preaching the gospel. People were coming under conviction. They were getting full of the Holy Ghost and demonstrations and manifestations of the Holy Ghost. That's what they're doing. He said, that's what's missing today. He said, the church has put the Holy Spirit out. They don't want people talking in tongues at church. They don't want conviction in the church. We don't want these things. We don't want the demonstrations of the Spirit. We want to have a nice, quiet meeting, large checks, big auditoriums. That's what we want. That's exactly what we got. See, people don't realize their faith is producing what they want. Their faith is, now, what they say is, now, we want this, we want, now, the same ones will say, we want miracles. But we're not going to allow them in our church over here while we're going on, because some people don't like that. See, some people are uneasy with that kind of stuff. Oh, no tongues or interpretation. We can't do any. See, the moves of God. You know, if tongues and stuff embarrass you around people and different things going on, you got a problem. You got a problem with your liking God or not. Because this is a God manifestation. People aren't going to tell me they love God and then they don't want these certain demonstrations. We don't want to have these certain things around. That's a bunch of... They're manifestations of God. And you can't tell me you God's moving around you. You ain't shutting the door on those things and saying God's going to... He's moving here. No. You'll get spirits move. And I'll tell you what, you'll get religious spirits moving. And people get hooked up in religious spirits. And they're demonic. But boy, people... They'll cause you to do nice religious stuff. But it ain't going to do the things that you want. There's a cost on everything. See, we need a move of God. If anything to do, we need to open the door to the move of God. We need to come back to things that we're not ashamed of anymore. We need to be able to tell people, you need to get born again. Say, pray for me. I'm having a lot of problems. You need to learn to look them in the eye and say, you know, you keep living like hell. You think your problems are bad now. Wait till you see what's going to happen. Amen. See, and it gets worse yet. You don't get straightened out. You die. You end up in hell. And they'll say, who are you to judge me? I ain't judging you. I done read the Bible. God done judged you. I can show you. Should I show you where he judged me? Go over to 1 John and show him. The person who don't believe, the wrath of God's on them, and say, look, you need to be changed. We ain't telling a customer me. They need to be saved. We need to quit praying for God to comfort sinners in their sin. We need to knock this stuff off. We need to quit trying to fix family problems that way. What we want to bring comfort to, because we don't want to deal with the problem, so we say, well, let's pray God, you know, comfort them. Lord God, help them. You know, Lord God, no, don't help them, Lord God. Kick them in the pants again. Send the Holy Ghost there till they get straight. We don't want to do that. We want to find a way. You know, yeah, the government ought to just send checks. And then we get this to fix the problems for us living in hell. And the government can print now another $1 trillion or $2 trillion and send it out. Boy, when Trump first did that, I thought, this, what on earth is he thinking? What are they thinking doing this? You can't get away with this stuff. It's going to come to roost. You can't do it. It don't work. Looks nice now. You know what Wanda and I did with it? They sent us checks. So I said, well, at least we're going to try to do something good with it. I said, we sent them to some ministries. I said, dear God. I said, we might as well take them before the inflation hits real bad. And let somebody use them. And that's what we did. We took those checks. We sent them to ministries. Says, go ahead, people, do something for God with it. Because the inflation... Who didn't know inflation wasn't going to come? If you didn't know, I'm going to tell you what, you ain't got nothing between your ears. I mean, you don't even got a good BB rolling around up there. Say, now that wasn't enough. Let's do it a second time. If that wasn't big enough, let's get at it again. Let's make a bigger one. We're saving the nation. I'm going to tell you what. You know you're in trouble if I'm smarter than you. You're in big trouble. If I'm smarter than the economists, we're in big trouble. You don't have to be real bright. You don't have to be bright to see this stuff coming. To see what you can't do. But everybody thinks, well, all this stuff is good. But the cost... And my mom used to say, yeah, the chickens are going to come to roost. Mom was always right about that. They always came to roost. You know, we did things and we thought, well, you know, for a while everything was running good. But Mama was right. What's bad is when you can look back at people in the past and things that they said without all this brilliant educations today going on. And man, they were smart. They knew. The common, everyday person knew things. I don't think politics has changed at all. I think it's You know, you study history of things, and I mean, you go back to politics and back down to even the Civil War and before. Washington has never changed. It is insane. It was insane then. Politics didn't change. And you talk about bad news media, it ain't ever changed. The news media has been rotten to the core. You study history on news media, my God, you go back and look at the Civil War. I mean, dear Lord, they did everything they could to divide the nation. The news media was doing everything it could back then. There's one thing that we have that's a great blessing. And God gave an America a reprieve, and his name was Abraham Lincoln. I cannot understand how that man stood as well as he did. Because Trump never went through near what he went through. Trump wasn't sitting there. Trump had a divided nation, but he didn't have a war going on. People are killing each other. It always amazes me. I always thank God, see, in the middle of all that mess, God gave a man who could stand in a place. I mean, that had to be supernatural. That just downright had to be supernatural. You see, there's no saving America without the supernatural. You can't save America without it. The government can't save America. Trump can't save America. We need something supernatural. We need God to put something in to change things. And see, that's what we need to have. Boy, we need God. We do. There's no weakness in the fact that we could stop and say, I don't know what to do about all this mess. But I do know one, it does. God, if you don't come and you don't help, it's just me. We're in trouble if it's just me. We're in trouble if it's just you. Think about it. There's nothing, that's not weakness. Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. See, when I done run out of me and I know who I need to call on, I know who's my helper. I know the one, if I call, he'll respond to me. See, I want you to get this today. See, the Christian, God is an obligation under covenant to respond to you. But you got to believe it. I'm going to tell you what. He'll respond to me. If I call, he answers. If I want to know the truth, he won't hide it from me. And he won't hide it from you. See, we need a people, and there are other ones in this land. We're not the only. There's other Christians in this land, but I'm going to tell you what. They're a minority that really see the desperate need of this nation and need God to move. But I'll tell you what. God will move because we ask. God will move. He'll give us wisdom. You're not going to change everything that's going on. You're not going to do it. Forget it. But God will show us things that will withstand judgment. And you want things held back. You know, we want to be sort of a king like Hezekiah. Where God says, hey, because you walked with me and did what? You ain't going to have judgment come in your time. It won't come in yours. You walk with me, you're not going to see it. Man, we need that. We need that desperately. And we need to stop and call. God's in it. He'll respond to us. God's not looking for a people that are perfect. There ain't none around. That's why you needed the blood of Jesus. That's why you needed to be born again. That's why all this stuff. God never said you were going to be perfect and do everything right. If he's only going to respond to you because you were perfect, well, forget it. We ought to just all go home and forget this whole thing, you know. It wouldn't be any good. God is waiting for a people of faith. We're perfected before God on the basis of faith. And when we stand in our faith and we go before him and say, God, I'm calling you. I'm here calling you. And God, you're responding to me. Maybe right now I ain't hearing so good, but it don't matter. You're responding. You're not letting this thing alone. Lord God, keep talking to me till I hear. Keep moving till I hear and understand. God, if you need to send somebody else to come and tell me what you're saying, then you do that. But whatever, God, I want to know what you're saying. I want to know what you're speaking. There's many voices out here today. Many voices. Many voices. But I want to tell you, God wants to talk to the church. He wants to talk to us. we're going to have communion this morning. And communion just says, it's about fellowship. Why have communion? If he's not, there's no fellowship if he don't talk to you. If there's no fellowship, if he doesn't manifest himself to you, there is no fellowship. You don't fellowship with somebody you never go see. You don't fellowship with anybody you can't talk to. I mean, can you? No. He gave the communion table to remind us, come to fellowship. Man, we need to talk. See, God, you need to talk and I need to listen. You need to talk. I need to hear from you. When you were a rotten, no good sinner, deserved the judgment of God on you, the wrath of God poured on you. Before you were ever born, Jesus died so you could be saved. He's sure not against us today, is he? He's not against us at all. He's for us. Hallelujah. It's a wonderful thing. If we've missed it, all we have to do is repent. I mean, just think about it. The Lord said concerning our nation, all he's calling us to is asking to repent. That's all he's asking us to do. To stop and say, we blew it, we did wrong. We don't want to keep going this direction. Boy, wasn't that a toughie? How did man become so hard-hearted? How did man get so hard? See, my, he made it so simple. Hallelujah. He made it simple for you, and you called, and he answered, didn't he? He didn't tell you how to wait 10 years to get saved, or you know, you had to climb Mount Everest and whatever else. If you did all these different things, and then we might get something going here. He didn't do any of that. Hallelujah. But he's called you to fellowship today. Why? Because he wants to manifest with you. See, fellowship, the manifestations that come with fellowship is where really strength abounds. There's no such thing as a strong relationship without fellowship. There is not. The strength of all relationships are based in that closeness. See, he can't be a God that don't talk. You know, I've heard ministers say, well, I don't believe God talking to you. And then he talks about having a personal relationship. How could you have a personal relationship if somebody won't talk to you? All he'll give you is a book. Is that all he can do is give me a book? That's the best? See, my God, I got books of people I could see. I mean, how does religion get so dumb? I mean, do these people ever give 10 seconds to thought of what they actually said? It doesn't even make sense. But they found their religion around it. God won't talk to me. I'm going to spend eternity with somebody that won't talk to me. That ain't your God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Will you have somebody go over and get the kids? Or we get them? Oh, thanks. I'll get things going here to where we'll get the elements. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory, glory, glory. These things this morning might seem sort of heavy, but I think some sort of things today need to be weighty. Of their importance of what they are. God's not against you. He wants to manifest himself to you. Get an expectation that God will manifest himself to you, that God will do things. Get the idea, I mean, get within yourself. Like I often think Paul said, you know, don't you know that the Spirit of God is living in you? Don't you know that you're the temple of God? The Spirit of God, don't you know that? See, it's not a mental process. It's a knowing in your heart. In here, God's living. Just think about that today. God is living in you today. I mean, think about what you are as a human being. See, that's one of the things that I was really grateful that John G. Lake taught. See, I think John G. Lake is one of the things that I got from him, a revelation of this. Because of talking about God being incarnated, we talk about God coming as a man and God living in a body. God came and lived in a body. John G. Lake had a revelation past that. John G. Lake said, Well, don't you know that God is still incarnated today in people, in your body? God's incarnated in a human body. God the Holy Spirit is incarnated in a human body. We say God lives in us. Well, what is he, just a hitchhiker? I mean, God is incarnated in a body. God wants to manifest through your body. He wants to operate in your body. He wants to heal the sick in your body. You touch people, he heals people. God manifesting through the body. See, we take incarnation. When Jesus left, God incarnated left. No, he didn't. Now he has a whole army of incarnated people. See, John G. Lake understood that. See, today we've lost these revelations. We've lost these things to religion, to religious talk, and we don't understand. God is manifest in the human body today. He isn't just a guy sitting on a throne up there someplace. Jesus said, when I go, I'm going to send you another, or one, that word, another comfort, one just like me. And he's going to come move in and live with you forever. He's going to live with you forever. Hallelujah. In other words, he ain't moving out. Hallelujah. In fact, that Holy Spirit in you is so strong, is working in your body that the Apostle Paul wrote and said that same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. In other words, the resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead. The same thing that causes Jesus is living in you. Amen. We're not trying to get the power of God. We have the power of God. He's alive in you. The same Spirit. He said, what does he do? He makes alive your mortal body. See, communion is like the Lord told Kenneth E. Hagin. He said, I didn't put gifts of the Spirit, and he said, the name of Jesus in the church for the church to use to get healed. He said, I didn't put them in there. He said, the church should be healed by the communion table. What does that mean? The fellowship. Your fellowship. See, your fellowship, you know the Bible says in the New Testament, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. See, you know they wrote about the fellowship of the ring. No, we got the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. We're members of the fellowship. Now listen, what does he say? He makes alive the mortal body. The mortal body, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. See, we should be saying that all the time. The Holy Spirit's in me making my body alive. If you understand these things, see, fellowship, this is what fellowship's about. It's to remind us. We're in fellowship with somebody that's with us. We're one with God. You can't be one with something that's living on another planet someplace. You know, in the spirit realm, I don't know how you would figure it out. People talk about, you know, because people have visions and people get caught up to heaven and they went up. Like Kenneth Hagin said, he went up one time, so it was almost like an elevator, he went up. But he talked about being caught out. He said, it's like I went out through past the, one time, he said, it was like I went out past the planets. He said, I could see the earth behind me, and he said he went up, whatever. Now people talk about that. See, when we think about, the average Christian thinks about, when they think about God, they think about out there. But that's not. It's God in here. You're walking around in the earth here. You can have fellowship with the Holy Spirit, with God the Holy Spirit. You can have fellowship. You're touching God and God's touching you. This God in manifestation in you. You're not, what do you need more than the resurrection power of that raised Jesus from the dead? Is there anything else that you might work? I mean, that, now you need to understand, the resurrection of Jesus from the dead was not about raising a body, a physical body from the dead. If it was, there was no importance with Jesus being raised from the dead. It was about taking a spiritually dead being who had died in sin and making it alive to God. Because that's what you needed. To be born again is to have your sin nature, the part of you that was bound in sin, resurrected to life and made like the nature of God. See, Jesus died as a sinner and was raised in glory. I'll read the Bible about being dying and raising in glory. See, that's the same glory. We died and raised in the same glory. Why? You have the same, just like his birth, you got the same birth. Jesus didn't get a better resurrection than you got. Your inner beings exactly was raised the Holy Spirit. When you called on the name of the Lord, he resurrected your spirit in the same way. You got to become a new being. If any man in Christ, you're a new creation. See, talking about the new creation in you, you're a new creation. You're new on the inside. This is how you fellowship with God. You got to know who you are. See, we're fellowshipping with people like people fellowship. You know, people, well, my dogs, that's just part of my family, one of the kids. I'm sorry, that's the closest fellowship you're going to get. See, we think in the same manner, the kind of thing. We're this little puppy and God's this big thing. I'm sorry, it ain't that at all. You don't know nothing about fellowship with God. We're fellowshipping on the same plane, on the same level. The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is living in me. It's the same one that quickens my mortal body. I'm in fellowship with God. I talk to God face to face. We've read too many books of trying to get close to God instead of saying we're close to God. Paul wrote about it. Go over and read in Romans. He said, you're not in the flesh, but you're in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of Christ is in you. See, Christians keep trying to get in the Spirit. Well, don't you believe you are? Quit trying to get where you are. See, my God, you know what? I ain't trying to get to Lebanon. That's the church. Kurt Church keeps trying to get to God, and guys keep writing books about it. God, if they read the Bible, how? It, you know what? I'm just convinced. Sounds too good to be true. See, can we really believe it? Yes, you can. We take these elements today. This is God in fellowship with you. This is about God in fellowship with you. Hallelujah. God is communion's God reaching out to us. Reminding us, hey, I want to be close to you. I want to manifest myself to you. I'm in you. You belong to me. You're mine. Oh, my Father, I just want to thank you today. Lord God, I thank you for the sweetness and wonder of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, guide us and teach us today. Instruct us today. Oh, we want Jesus so real to us. Lord, just like we sing in a beginning, we want the revelation of Jesus. Not something on the pages of a book, but Lord God, in real life, something we live every day, something we walk in. Hallelujah, Lord God, that no matter in the tragedies and the things of our time, Lord God, that we're the most hopeful people in the world, that we're the most confident in the bunch. Lord God, if anybody can reach out to someone, they can reach out to us because we do have an answer. We have one because the one we have is living in us. We're not trying to get them to a God way out there. Hallelujah. They can come to us. Because we're the temples of the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God is living in us today. And Lord, as we approach these elements that you gave, hallelujah, to remind us, we're our oneness with you. That we're one with your body. We're one with your blood. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That we're one. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That wonderful shed blood that was in heaven. We're one with it. Hallelujah. That life of that blood is working in us today, the Church of Jesus Christ. The covenant stands forever. And Lord God, there's one thing that I've learned many years ago about the blood covenant. It can't be broken without the approval of both sides. Hallelujah. You can't break the covenant. It's an impossibility. If you say, well, I'm going to break the covenant, you'd absolutely be a liar. You'd be no different than the devil. You can't do it because both parties must be in agreement to change the covenant. And Lord God, I ain't never heard that you ever wanted to change. You never wanted to change being one with us. You never wanted to change walking with us. You never wanted to change in manifesting yourself to us. Lord God, I want to thank you today, Lord God. Lord, you're sitting on us in a place. And Lord, as we approach these elements, Lord God, as the Church of Jesus Christ, as your people, Lord God, I want to thank you. I thank you, Lord God, when we call concerning this nation. Lord God, we know the condition. We know, Lord God, what this nation deserves. But Lord God, we're the people that you will turn an ear to We're the people that you will listen to today. And Lord God, Lord, the Bible tells us, Jesus, your Father, He's the Lord of the harvest. He's the one that we're waiting for the precious fruit of the earth. And He wants precious fruit. He wants the precious fruit of this earth. Lord, we don't want people destroyed. We want people in. And Lord God, Lord, we want people coming into the kingdom. And Jesus, you said yourself that we were supposed to pray that the Lord of harvest would send laborers. We're asking right now, Heavenly Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we're asking, Father, we need supernatural laborers. We need laborers of the fellowship of Jesus Christ. We need laborers desperately coming into the harvest. Hallelujah. People anointed of the Holy Spirit. God's hand upon it. Demonstrations. Just like you sent your disciples and you sent your 70. You didn't set people just telling a nice message. You sent people demonstrating the message. Demonstrating the glory of the message. And Lord God, that's what we want. We want that message, Lord God, with demonstration, manifestation. Lord God, that people see that there is a living God. And so we thank you. And we thank you as we take these elements today, we're reminded of our place. And we're going to stand, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. We're going to stand before you in fellowship with you. And we're going to allow you to talk to us. We're going to allow you to move through us. Hallelujah. We're going to allow you to reveal yourself to us and to others. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen.